Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast in our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, today's teaching is entitled, All is Not Lost. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
Well, this morning, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 11. If you will, turn there, the 11th chapter of Romans. Romans 11. Give you just a moment to get there. The scriptures will also be on the wall behind me. I used to say on the overheads, but we don't have overheads anymore. We now have a wall. That's progress, by the way, Tim. All right. Romans 11, verse 1. Paul writes, I say then, has God cast away his people? And of course, he's talking about Israel. He says, certainly not, for I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? God said, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there are the remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have attained it. And the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that we should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. Today, as we continue the series, Nothing Will, I'm going to speak a message to you entitled, All is Not Lost. Will you say that with me? All is not lost. One more time. If you're in a place or you recently found yourself in a place of feeling like all is lost, allow God to recalibrate you by opening your eyes that you may see what he sees and see as he sees. Amen. All is not lost. But how you perceive what you see, how you perceive what you feel, the conclusions you draw based on vision is very important. I sat in on our young adults class this past Wednesday night. Man, I had an amazing time. I felt young again. The discussion was phenomenal. during our conversation, one of the young men in that group, Nate, mentioned how Paul had great visions from God. And Nate's statement led to this conclusion. The vision we need from God is not so much about what God wants us to do for him, but who he wants us to be in him. I want to say that again. The vision that we need to get from God is not a vision that so much shows us what God wants us to do for him, but more so a vision concerning who you are in God. It is more important for you to have a better understanding of who you are in Christ It is more important for you to have a better understanding of who you are in Christ than what you believe you've been called to do for Christ. For out of the revelation of your identity as a child of God, great works can and will flow. But you cannot put the cart before the horse. You gotta be sure of your identity. You gotta be confident in who you are. And your focus must be more so on you being a child of God than the works you do for God. In Romans 11:1, Paul asks a question. Has God cast away his people? And he's talking about Israel. Remember when I started Romans chapter 9, I said chapter 9, 10, and 11, Paul primarily, he moves his focus away from the church as a whole. And he, those chapters, Paul is dealing with Israel, God's chosen people. So here in Romans 11, 1, Paul asks, has God cast away his people or Israel? He answered, certainly not. Paul said, for I also am a Jew of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And though some may have thought God had rejected Israel, Paul argued to the contrary. For there was a remnant who believed, including Paul, who was a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. And listen to what he writes again in Romans 11, verses 13 and 14. He said, for I speak to you Gentiles, he's talking to us, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. Do you hear what the apostle is saying? God has not totally rejected his people whom he foreknew, but they have been cut off for such a time as now that Gentile nations may be grafted into God's family tree. Paul said, I magnify my ministry to the Gentiles. I magnify the works of God amongst them because I want Israel to see what God is doing for the Gentiles in order to provoke them to jealousy. His motive was to see more than a remnant come to the faith. Listen, church, all is not lost. But God will at times allow situations into your life that looks hopeless in order to show himself strong on your behalf. that those who do not know him would be provoked to jealousy when they see the works of God in your life. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that God may show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He's looking for people. He's looking for people of faith. Sister Nancy, he's looking for that remnant. Even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, even among born-again, spirit-filled believers, there's just a remnant of people who take God at his word. Most make excuses for what God, for why God cannot do when what he said he would do. And most of those excuses are based on what we see when we look at ourselves. But what God's looking for, the loyal heart. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to live a perfect life. You're going to miss it from time to time. You're going to sin from time to time. But if you remain loyal to God, you are someone that he can show himself strong through. You got to stay loyal. When situations of life make you feel like all is lost, stay in faith and rejoice knowing that the Lord is looking for people like you. He's looking for someone whose heart is loyal to him that he may strengthen and support and use you for his glory. The church, the body of Christ, finds herself in a time of intense spiritual warfare. If I were to go around this room and take a poll, I would venture to say that the majority of you would say you've been in quite a fight as of late. But there's something different, Pastor Angela, about the season we're now in. There's something different about this season. So I would also venture to say that the majority of you would also say that though the battle's been intense, deep inside of you, there's an unshakable faith that says, God has got me. God has got me. God has got me. All this stuff is coming against me. It's trying to wear me down. It's trying to break me down. It's trying to take me out. But there's something inside of you. There's an anchor in you that says God's got you, even in the midst of all that you're going through right now. There's something different about this season. Deep inside, there's a confidence that you will be victorious. Listen, church, sometimes all we can do is just keep pushing. Sometimes all we can do is just keep fighting, just keep praying. But as we do, we discover the amazing power of God is at work in our members. God's got you. You know, as I was studying and meditating, preparing for this message, I had a thought about faith. Faith is a strange phenomenon to understand. You see, it must be tried under fire to prove its worth. And many of you have found yourselves in the midst of what seems like an inferno. And yet you're in the midst of the fire, you're not being consumed. You're not being destroyed. But as you have remained in faith, all the fire is doing is burning away the things that have bound you, things that have restricted you from flexing your spiritual muscle. You know, one of my favorite actors passed away a few years ago, a man by the name of Bernie Mac. I love some Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was crazy. But Bernie Mac also was one of those guys who seemed to overcome the odds that were against him. And he began to do great things. But there's a movie that Bernie Mac was in several years ago where him and his wife, and the lady who was playing his wife, her name on the show was Marilyn. And they was getting ready to celebrate their anniversary, their wedding anniversary. Well, in the midst of that, something happened and Marilyn got upset. And she said, "I'm not saying no vows." He said, "Oh, woman, you're going to say some vows." She said, "I'm not saying no vows." And she began to walk away. And Bernie Mac said, "Get back here. I spent a lot of money on this cake. I bought 50 pounds of shrimp, woman, 50 pounds of shrimp. We're going to say some vows." He said, "Get back here, Marilyn, or you're going to make me use the muscle." Listen, it's time for the church to begin to flex and use its muscle of faith against the spirit of darkness that has come against us. It's time for you to begin to flex and use your muscle of faith. God has given you the faith needed to overcome whatever comes your way. But faith is a strange phenomenon to understand. They give you something else about faith that makes it a strange phenomenon. Your faith is working for you even when you don't know it. Your faith is working for you even when you don't know it. As I began to look back over my life and think about the things that I had to face, it didn't always feel like my faith was working. I didn't feel like I was in faith. But I came to realize that even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't know it, your faith is at work. Because it's not your faith, it's God's faith that he put in you. Your faith works even when you don't know it. Your faith works even when you don't feel like it. Because if you look back and think about when you walked through the difficulties of life and you came out on top, most likely it was your faith in God that brought you through. Amen. Today's text should serve as a reminder that you're not alone. Let me remind you that no matter how lost you may feel or how much you may feel at a loss, all is not lost. When we're in Christ, a remnant of faith is enough to sustain you. Just a remnant. When you feel like you don't have enough faith, remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 17:20. He said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there.'" And what? "And it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Let's read that. Let's read that together. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Just a remnant of faith. Just a mustard seed of faith. As you keep your eyes on Jesus and your faith in God, you're able to navigate the difficulties of life with the sense of, "This will not defeat me because I know that God is on my side." Right.
This will not defeat me because I know who I am in Christ. Satan will use the circumstances of life to make us feel alone. But Jesus promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So regardless of how you feel, you're never alone. Amen. Satan will use the setbacks we go through to isolate and separate us from the church that Jesus is building. Therefore, we must fight to overcome the temptation to pull away from our spiritual family. Satan may be raging, but God is moving, church, and he's moving in a mighty way. Satan may be raging, but God is not moved by his antics, and we should not be either. The fight is real. The struggle is real. But so is the guaranteed victory. We seem to have more faith in the fight and the struggle than we do the victory. A victory that God himself is guaranteed. God is still God. And God has people all around us who are standing and fighting with us. So when you feel alone, when you feel at a loss, remind yourself all is not lost. There's still a remnant of God's people who are committed to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 11, Paul continues to address his concern for his native people Israel. And he answers a question that apparently many was contemplating. And that question is, has God cast away his people? Paul answers, certainly not. And in verse 5, he writes, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. In other words, all is not lost. All is not lost. Israel, God's chosen people, has not been completely cast away because they're the remnant who've placed their faith in Jesus. And Paul in Romans 11 uses a conversation Elijah had with God concerning Israel to further make his point. Elijah said to God, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you're the only one going through what you're going through? Have you ever felt like no one understands? That even God need to be reminded or made aware of your circumstances? You're laughing because we've all felt that way at some time or another. And the truth is, some of you may be feeling that way right now. You may feel like you're the only one. You may feel like no one understands what you're going through. You may feel like people have torn down, even desecrated the things of God. But I want to remind you, like God reminded Elijah, you're not alone. You're not alone. All is not lost. There are others just as committed to God and his purposes as you are. There are others going through hell just like you are. But the key is we're going through it. We're not going to get stuck in it, and we're not going to stop in it. We're going to come out on the other side. Amen? There are others who feel all alone, who feel like life has gotten the better of them. Again, perhaps some of you feel that way right now. There are others who are pleading with God, petitioning him to show up and show himself strong on their behalf, just like you are. you're not alone. All is not at a loss. God told Elijah, I reserved for myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000 men who perhaps felt the same way Elijah did. 7,000 representing a remnant of God's people. But listen, you got to get this. God is just as faithful to the remnant as he is to the masses. Just as faithful. God spoke those words to Elijah because he wanted the prophet to know that he was not alone, because isolation can be a tool of the devil, or it can be an instrument of God. It all depends on how you choose to use it. God will have you pull away, isolate yourself for times of refreshing in prayer and personal worship with him. And you need that. Satan will use hurt and offenses to isolate you from the body of Christ and make you feel like nobody cares about you. It's up to you how you choose to use isolation. Either as a tool of Satan or a vehicle that God will use to strengthen you, to grow you, to mature you in the things of God. Remember, Jesus often pulled away by himself. So isolation is not a bad thing if it's being used for the good of God. But when you allow the enemy to isolate you because you've gotten your feelings hurt, or because you've been offended by somebody, or because pastor didn't speak to you, or whatever it may be, even if it's just for a few moments, Satan's at work. Now, I know none of you ever feel like I don't speak to you, because I speak to everybody, but I mean, just in case it happens, just know I love you, okay? Paul is pointing out to us that God has not rejected all of Israel. All is not lost. There was a remnant who believed and accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, God chose the Jews to be the people through whom the rest of the world would come, could find salvation. But that doesn't mean that every Jew is saved. But the remnant who believed in Jesus, the remnant who accepted God's plan of salvation, they are God's children. And we all become children of God by way of grace. Paul tells us in Romans 11, verses 5 and 6, even so then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then it is no longer works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. The fullness of the life we seek from God only comes through grace. But we miss out on that life when we feel like we can, one, earn it, or two, receive it based on race or heritage. And sadly, many of the Jews felt both. They thought both. They thought they could earn their salvation by their keeping of the law. And they thought they were saved and automatically members of God's family because of their Jewish heritage. I want to ask you a few questions this morning that I want you to seriously contemplate concerning grace. And your honesty, how you answer these questions will help you see and understand what you think it means to live a grace-filled life. Are you ready? Ready for these questions? This is the first question. Do you think it's easier for God to love you when you're good than it is when you're bad? Think about that. Do you feel like God loves you more when you're good, when you're doing what you should do, than he loves you when you're bad or you're struggling? If you think that God loves you more when you're good, you're putting conditions on God's unconditional love. I want you to really check yourself and see what do you really think and feel about grace. The second question: do you somehow feel that God chose you because you deserved it? That's healthy laughter. That's something that must be thought about and addressed. Because people who feel that way, they need to check their pride at the door. Because we've done nothing to deserve God's grace. One more question. Do you think that there are some people whose behavior is so bad that God couldn't possibly save them? Now I want you to think about someone doing the most heinous thing you can comprehend. The most heinous. Whatever that is to you. Do you see them as being unreachable by God? I submit to you, church, as long as there's breath of life in any situation, all is not lost. But how you answer those questions define what you believe about God's grace, not only for yourself, but also for other people. Because the grace of God is the same to all of us. Jew or Gentile, black or white, male or female, rich or poor, his grace is the same. There's no one that God cannot reach, and there's no circumstance that is too big for his grace. And I was preparing this and got to this portion, I was reminded of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said this to Zacchaeus. He says, the Son of Man, after he had told Zacchaeus, I must go to your house. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus spoke those words in the presence of the religious leaders, those leaders were probably shocked in two ways. Number one, they probably did not like Jesus acknowledging that this unpopular tax collector was a fellow son of Abraham. They didn't like that. Number two, they probably did not like hearing that sons of Abraham could be lost. Because that would mean that they also could be lost. Jesus wanted them to know that with God, all is never lost. That he is a loving God who seeks out the lost to offer them hope. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost and make available to all who will receive it God's plan of salvation that is born out of grace. And because of God's grace, all is not lost. As we live in his grace, we come to experience life as God will have us experience it. But we cannot, listen, we cannot trust in ourselves. You cannot trust in yourself. That is what Israel did, and that is what, to a large degree, many in the nation of Israel is doing today. Listen to Romans 11:7 from the Message Bible as Paul addressed that very thing. He said, when Israel tried to be right with God, on her own, pursuing her own self-interest, she didn't succeed. But the chosen ones of God were those who let God pursue his interest in them, and as a result, received the stamp of legitimacy. Romans 11:11-12 from the Message Bible. Again, the next question is, are they, Israel, down for the count? Are they out of this for good? The answer is a clear-cut no. But Paul writes, ironically, when they walked out, they left the door open. And what happened? Outsiders walked in. Do you know who those outsiders are? Yeah. We are those outsiders. We are the Gentiles. The Jews have been cut off for a period of time that we could be grafted in. But in that cutting off, all is not lost with Israel, because they're the remnant of Jews who believed and accepted Jesus as Messiah. Where's Angela? They're the remnant who accepted Jesus as Messiah. Paul continues. Thank you, brother. Listen, he said, the next thing you know, the Jews were starting to wonder if perhaps they had walked out on a good thing. Now, if their leaving triggered this worldwide coming of non-Jewish outsiders to God's kingdom, just imagine the effect of them coming back. And we're going to get into the latter part of this chapter in a couple of weeks, where Paul makes a statement that all Israel shall be saved. And I'm going to talk about what that means, because clearly we understand that every born-again Jew is not going to be saved. We're going to talk about what that means. But there's coming a time when Israel will come to the Lord Jesus Christ in mass numbers. And Paul said, if they're being cut out, triggered this worldwide coming of Gentiles to God's kingdom, can you imagine the effect of them coming back? Let me sum up today's message with this. Paul had a vision of a church where Jew and Gentile would be united in their love of God and in their obedience to Christ. He had a vision of a church that, while respecting God's law, this ideal church would also look to Christ alone for salvation. He had a vision of a church where a person's ethnic background and social status is irrelevant, but what mattered most is their faith in Jesus. But Paul's vision has not yet been realized, because even to this day, far too many Jews still reject the gospel. They still depend on their heritage for salvation. They depend on their works for salvation. They do not have the heart of obedience that was so important to the Old Testament prophets, that was so important to Paul. But there's another sad side to this coin. Once Gentiles became the dominant presence in the Christian church, they began to reject and persecute the Jews. A practice that has recurred through many centuries. A practice that even today keeps Jew and Gentile separated in their pursuit of God. It's ironic to me that as the church was being established, Jews persecuted Christians even to death. And Paul was one of them. But once the church became established, Gentile believers began to reject and persecute the Jews as though they had earned their salvation. As though we've done something to deserve it. With God, all is not lost to Jew nor Gentile. But we have to walk in faith to God and extend to those outside of God's family, Jew or Gentile, the same grace that God extended to us. And I want to conclude with Romans 11:15. Paul said, "For if their being cast away is reconciling the world, what will the acceptance be but life from the dead?" God is God of the living, not the dead. And by his grace, he is calling all men, Jew and Gentile, into that life. All is not lost with God. But we have to be his conduits of grace, offering his life to both Jew and Gentile, that the church Jesus died for, the church that Paul envisioned, will arise out of the ashes of death. But there's yet work to be done, church. There's yet people to be reached, Jew and Gentile. There's only a remnant. God wants more. Will you be his conduit of grace? Will you be his conduit of grace? Will you allow God to use you to reach people that are lost and going to hell? It is so easy for us to look at ourselves and think more of ourselves than we should. I want you to be a confident people, but let that confidence rest in God. Let that confidence rest in what he's done for you and what he's doing in you. If you're going to feel anything good about yourself, let it simply be, God, I have faith in you. All is not lost. But will you allow God to use you that Jesus may seek and save that which is lost, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has impacted your life through our church, we want to hear about it. Please email us at amen@r4sq.org. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.